Full of energy, right? Love that. I gotta tell you one on Kaylee. I can't pass this one up. We're in Johnson City, and we're on our way to eat, but there's a post office really close that we can go by to mail a bill that needs to be paid. And so we pull in the post office, and I get out to go in to mail the bill. Kaylee says, "Mimi, where's Papa going?" She said, "He's mailing a letter for me." She said, "Duh, why didn't he hand it to you?" You'll get it. Different perspectives, isn't it? And everybody has a different perspective. And we're going to talk this morning, share a message that I believe God has placed on my heart, and I pray that you will receive from Him today this valuable call on our life. Entitled it, Home Inspection. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 14. Home Inspection. Romans 14, verse 12. "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Father in heaven, as we share your message, may we be called to the attention of and focus of that our lives are to serve you, to honor you, to glorify you, and it's all about you. Father, help us to be better prepared for that day of inspection. Father, help us today to listen to your voice, listen to your message, not mine, obey you and trust you in every area of our life. May you reveal yourself to us today in a very real way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A home inspection is to make a judgment or a value or assessment. In our home, I don't know about yours, but in our home, when we know that family and friends are coming, like for Thanksgiving or something, even when they're coming over, prior to them getting there, there's a lot of extra cleaning going on. Anybody identify with me? And sometimes, I picked up a habit from our daughters that there's just some things that you just kind of like scoot it under the bed, right? And just, it's okay. It's out of sight. But we clean up, we do the things, and you straighten up, you get all these things in order prior to them. I don't know, but does anybody here, you don't have to testify or raise your hand or something like that, but does anybody in here have a room or a drawer in your house that's kind of a catch-all stuff? Y'all can, some people call it a junk drawer. Some people call it a junk room. Back when I was working with teenagers, I would go make personal visits to their home, because if you find out where they live, you can identify with them more. And so I would go into home, and I said, where's your room at? Oh, my parents has condemned it. It's off limits. There's a caution tape all over. Yeah. So I learned from that, just don't go there. Just go to the visit, make the visit, evaluation, pray. And what if, though, what if someone, when you got home today, was there at your house, a surprise visit, let's say, and they want to inspect your home, room by room, drawer by drawer, from the foundation to the attic? Would you let them in? Just curious. In the homes, sometimes there are things that we neglect. Sometimes there's things that we put off till later. And quite honestly, there's some things that we do compromise on. During a home inspection, a physical brick and mortar home, sometimes they'll find rayon or they'll find water issues or electrical issues. But when the home goes up for sale, it's best to have that all things are in order and cleaned up to get the most value out of that home, right? The house that we're talking about this morning, though, is not a brick and mortar home. There will be an inspection that we won't escape. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. Get it right here in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're not talking about a brick and mortar home. We're talking about us as individuals, as humans that God values, and each one of us should value everybody, right? Amen. We should value everyone because everyone's important to God and everyone should be important to us. In chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians in verse 19 and 20, the Word of God says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Yes, we should be good stewards of what God has given us physically. Yes, we should be good stewards of our bodies. But also we should be good stewards of His call on our lives as followers of Christ. Because it's about Him. It's not about us. You are made in the image of God, and you're highly valued to God, that you were created in His image. And everyone, regardless of what you are in life, whatever perspective, whatever's going on in your life, wherever you are, whatever value, whatever that you're into, you are valued by the Lord God. No matter what you're doing, no matter what your past is, no matter what you're involved in right now, God values you because He made you. And He wants to have a relationship with you. And that's why He sent Jesus. The Bible tells us, "Yet the wages of sin is death, an eternal separation from God. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Praise be to God that you do not have to pay the wages of your sin. Listen to me, church. You don't have to pay the wages of your sin. It's been paid through Jesus Christ. And by no means can anyone work for salvation. You can't be righteous enough to earn salvation and a personal relationship with God. Now listen to me. You cannot be religious enough to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can be in the church doors every single time they're open. You can go to every single church event there is. But you have to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And too many times, I think people are going to stand before a holy and just God to be judged, and they're going to say, "Well, I went to church. Okay, good place to get Jesus. I attended this conference. Okay, that's good. I gave these people money. That's good. But did you have a personal relationship? Have you confessed me as Lord?" Well, you have to have that personal relationship with God. You can't work for it. You can't be righteous enough. You can't even be religious enough. It's through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and His shed blood that we have the opportunity to have that free gift of salvation. Some people go through their life and they take this relationship with Jesus casual. They take life casual. They do not consider that there will be an inspection or evaluation before a holy and just God one day. You won't escape it, neither will I. We will stand before a holy and just God for an inspection. You say, but I'm saved. Yes, but you're going to still be evaluated. If you've not been saved, yeah, you ought to be terrified of that evaluation and that judgment. As Christians, folks, we should be grateful, we should be thankful, and we should have a heart that's so excited that we know the Lord Jesus, that we listen to Him and we obey Him. So many times we run through life so busy that we run through life not thinking about the consequences of what we do or what we don't do. And if you take life for granted, and sometimes that's wrong, because we should not ever take life for granted. And I pray that today, that each one of us, that the Holy Spirit of God just begins to work in our hearts, that we wake up to the real life, and that we're not just sailing through, taking life for granted, because we will all stand in judgment. And when we stand in judgment, we will either reap in reward or we will suffer in the consequences. Make each day count. I've heard that over and over for the last 14 years. But normally when I hear those words spoken, it's at the funeral home or the graveside. Make each day count. Make it count for the glory of God, not for the edification of yourself. Make every day count for the glory of God. And that is when you stand before Him, that you might hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You know, there's some words in life that make you a little apprehensive, make you a little nervous. When we stand before God, we better be ready. I think of the words sometimes that we might hear that make us, our hearts run a little faster and our pace. And here are the words. Driver's license and registration, please. You kind of know where you're at when you hear those words, right? Your heart starts racing just a little bit. When you stand before a holy and just God, that tremble of how holy and how just He is, that we will have to stand before Him. And as Christians, we'll have to give an account for what we've done. For unbelievers, you're fixing to hear your eternal destiny. Make each day count. Casual life people might say something like, "Well, it is what it is." They might say, "I've got time. God understands." They might even say, "I just want my life to be the way I want it because I have my rights and I want my pleasure." You're going to reap what the Bible says. Tony Evans said this, he made a comment, "To fear God is to take Him seriously as opposed to taking Him casually." I like that. I believe God wants to call our attention to His call on our lives this morning, Christians. I believe that Galatians 2:20 kind of sums that up for us when it says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You should be excited that God loves you so much and that you have a personal, close, intimate relationship with him, that he wants to grow and grow and grow and be so close to you to live out his plan in your life to glorify and honor him. We should be grateful and we should be willing to live for him, for his honor, for his glory. Amen? I mean, we should be very grateful because I'm telling you, every one of us, as a follower of Christ, we were living in a helpless estate of no hope, no peace, and no purpose. Yet, God sent his only begotten Son to earth for every one of us. What happened if Jesus had not came? We'd be helpless. There's an inspection that's going to be coming. It may come even when you least expect it. It might be a surprise. But are you prepared for it? The judgment seat of Christ involves a time in the future when believers will give an account of themselves to Christ. This is the plain teaching of the Bible. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. The warning is to Christians, not unbelievers. As Jesus taught in his parable, the king is going to return. He's coming back to pick you up. Amen. And it appears, it just appears, I don't know the time or the place, but it does appear that it's not too far off. But either way, he's going to pick us up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. Glad to have your Bibles this morning and that you're looking there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The Word of God's true. Amen. Scripture affirms the fact that there will be a great and final judgment, believers and unbelievers. When that book is open, is your name written down? God wants to write it down. He wants you to have a personal relationship with you, and he offers that free gift of salvation. To reject God and to live your life the way that you want to live it with your own pleasure, you will reap the consequences of that. Revelations chapter 20. Turn there if you would, please. Revelations 20, beginning in verse 12. And I saw the dead, great and small, before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the dead and the death and hell delivered up the dead from were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We're God's true, folks. You can't rule it out. You can try. But there's coming a judgment. And we need to quit taking life casual. And we need to take life serious, because there is coming a time that we give an account. And every day does count. We should make it for His honor and for His glory. God offers that free gift. And when you receive that free gift, you should be grateful and serve Him. For those of us that confess Christ as Lord, how you live, how you serve, will be accountable. As Christians, here are four things. Here are four things. There's probably more, I'm sure there is. But here are four things I believe the Lord has revealed to me that I'm going to share with you that we'll be held accountable for. Number one, your trust in Him. If you love Him, you trust Him. If you trust Him, you lean on all what He says to do, not just partially. Number two, how was your giving? I mean, yeah, we have Samaritan's Purse going on. We have Lottie Moon going on. We have different things that we can contribute to and give to, but I'm not just talking about financially, even though that's what He calls us to do, be givers, because He give to us, right? So we should bless others because we are blessed. But not only in giving financially, but giving of ourselves, giving to others the good news of the gospel, giving to others items and things that we should share with them, but also give our talents and our gifts to God to be used for His glory. Because as a follower of Christ, God did give you a gift, a spiritual gift to be used. Number three, did you serve Him faithfully? You know, in the Bible, they had three different festivals that they would come to. And everybody looked forward to coming to the temple for those festivals. And one of them was Easter. Okay? And they looked forward to coming there for Easter. And the other was Christmas. They loved to come and meet together for Christmas. And the other was the rapture, when Christ arose and ascended. We should worship together and be looking forward to coming together more than just three times a year, right? Amen. You're here, so you can say amen. It's okay. We should worship Him every day and be grateful and excited to come, gather together in His name to worship Him. Did you serve Him faithfully? And number four, did you share with others about me, about Him, about Jesus? Did you share with others about Jesus? About what He's done for you? And we should brag on Jesus, shouldn't we? Amen. Come on, church, you're a little quiet here. You ain't going out for me now. Should we brag on Jesus? Should we really, really brag on Jesus? I mean, He saved us. He set an eternal destiny for us to go to, that where He is, there we may be also. He's preparing a place for us. We should be excited. Because if He had not, we would not. We would suffer in an eternal fire destiny of hell. There's no hope other than Jesus. There's no peace other than Jesus. There's no purpose in life except for Jesus. There is an eternal hell that you will be tormented and isolated forever and ever and ever. There is a heaven that He prepared for each one that receives Him, that will be eternal pleasure in a place that He calls paradise. And you have the choice of where you go. Unbelievers, today is the Holy Spirit drawing you to make that decision? Because the Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Praise be to God. You can commit your life to Christ today and begin that wonderful journey of faith, trusting him, giving to him, being faithful to him, sharing about what he's done for you. The journey can start today. You can't do a whole lot about what yesterday and all your past was, but you can start today. You can start right now. Start today. Christians begin to honor him, to serve him, to trust him, to faithfully be giving to him. You can start today. Unbelievers, today can be your birthday. Today can be your birthday. Upon your final inspection before a holy and just God, what is your destiny? How will you stand before him and give an account of your faithfulness to him? For there will be a day. That day is for sure. God made a way for you to be with him forever, in a forever home. It's only through Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, it's going to be a different day when we enter that new home. We're all going to move, every one of us. You know, I hear over and over, Baptists don't move. Yeah, we will. Baptists will move because of their faith in Christ. And we're going to move to a new home. And it's not going to be like the home that we have ever experienced before. Look at Revelation 21. Just to give you a glimpse of what John saw that Jesus shared with him. In verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he sat upon the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. Praise be to God. Paradise is nothing like we've ever experienced. Heaven awaits us. Let's serve God. Be faithful and trust in him. Be faithful in using our gifts and talents and bragging about him until he comes back to pick us up. Are you ready for him to pick you up? You know not the hour or the day. Just be ready. Just be ready. Father in heaven, you love us supremely. You value us. And Lord, I understand that we should value everyone and love each one. That we should trust you. We should be faithful. We should be giving and bragging about you. God, is there someone here? The Holy Spirit, you're drawing to salvation. There's someone here today, Lord, is not prepared for you to pick them up. And today, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit will lovingly draw them to confess you as Lord and believe, place their faith in you. Without you, Lord, there is no other way. You are the hope, you're the peace, you're the purpose. You are the love that most people are looking for. Father, I pray today for my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that God has been taking life casually. The focus in life has been in different places when it should be on you. They've taken you for granted. And today, Lord, you're calling for repentance. You're calling for them to turn away and turn back to you. To leave self in the background and you forward ahead. Pray, Lord, today our hearts may be troubled, that we have the freedom that we can come to an altar and lay it all down and talk to you about it. And even you reveal to us your plan, what you want to do. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Our hope is in you. So today, Lord, as we extend this invitation from you to those that you're calling on their hearts, pray that they would receive and be made new. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand for this invitation?